All right. Well, we've been journeying through a series that we've entitled This Is Us. And for the past few weeks, and we've been addressing a number of different things in ways that we just want to be encouraging us as a church family in regards to who is it that we are? Who is it that God has called us to be? And we talked about how we're a church family and we're a place and a people to belong to, that we are a precious people but through whom that we have been saved by the grace and mercy of Jesus, and he sent his son to die on a cross for us. And so we are blood-bought, we are a people to belong to, we are a people who gather together, and there is an important thing that we gather together corporately as we do so on a weekly basis, because we want to encourage and build each other up. We sing because we have been, our lives have been changed, and just words aren't enough, but we want to sing of his goodness and his grace. We've had some missionaries with us over the past few weeks. About 2 weeks ago, we had some missionaries come and to tell their stories about how God has carried them through some seasons, as they called it, seasons of faith, and the journey that they had taken through that as God has worked through their lives. And in 2 weeks, we're going to have another couple, another family come who I want to introduce you to. They're the McCammons, who they, and hopefully another woman who is going to Sierra Leone also from Honduras. Her name is Ruth Rivera, that we are coming alongside and partnering with as they are heading off for Sierra Leone to serve for the coming years as God has called them there. And so we are a church. Who are we? We are a church that is about sending people to the nations for the sake of the gospel, or supporting those who can go. And so whether that is near through a ministry like Bridge of Hope, or it's far through over on the other side of the ocean to a place like Sierra Leone, we want to just continue to be a faithful people to that. Like Brent shared in the announcement, and you received an email this week, if you're interested in going like to Kentucky later this summer and being a part of a team to go and serve in Appalachia there, let me know. But it's about going. It is about taking the gospel and letting people know about Jesus, and loving people for the sake of the gospel, that's who we are. And so this morning, as we gather together, just real briefly in the time that remains, which isn't and too much, I wanted to take us to Psalm 127. As we have just walked through and dedicating and having these young children come before us this morning, and I want to remind us of who we are from this psalm, and that we are his beloved. I remember back whenever our first child was born, and the experience of sitting there in the hospital room, and Anna had just been born, and there they place her in our arms, and as a early 20s guy, dad, their first time, just be like, oh, I don't know, what am I going to do with her, and I hope I don't break her, and I hope I can do this, and just all those immediate thoughts. And then Noah came along, and I just remember driving home and just thinking, like, wow, what a gift and what a responsibility that we have been given as families, that he's entrusted them to us. And then just the blessing of all of our children. And with parenting, right, comes all kinds of concerns. With it comes all kinds of unknowns and questions as to how's this going to go. And as so many of you and people in our lives said, oh, they're so cute when they're so young, and you think that this is so hard. Just wait till they grow up, and things just get bigger things. And the worries and the concerns and everything that comes with it. What will the future bring? You know, questions of those types of things. And no matter who we are, there is the unknown that lies before us. None of us know what our next months, days, years hold for us, and what it looks like for us and even for the ones that we love, right? And so this morning, whether you're a mother, whether you're a father, whether you're a son or a daughter, that's all of us, we want to look to Psalm 127. And just real briefly, in the little bit of time that we have, I hope that there is some encouragement for us as we consider the future. And as we consider where our trust lies and how it is that we can have rest in the midst of it all. And so let's read together Psalm 127. The psalmist writes this. He says, unless the Lord builds the house, Those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, the children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. And so blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, I just ask that as we turn to your word now, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that we would be ready, receptive to hear, Lord, what it is that you have to say to each of us now. God, we thank you for your word, and thank you for being a God who loves and cares for us. In your name we pray, amen. So what reminder, what encouragement does this psalm give us, give to the overworked, but specifically, what encouragement does this psalm give to the overworked, to the sleep-deprived, to the anxiety-prone, to the self-reliant person who is concerned not just about today, but about to all the days that are to come in the future? The psalm is huge for every single one of us that is facing the days that are yet to come, which have no way of knowing what that looks like. Three times in the first two verses, what is it that the psalmist says as we look at this psalm? Three times he says, those who build a house labor in vain. It says the watchman stays awake in vain. The person who gets up early to work and works late and loses sleep and then goes and gives up sleep, making them tired, and it's all for nothing, he's saying. It's in vain. The word translated vain here is the same word that is translated in other places as he's saying it's worthless. There's no point to it, he says. Three times here the psalmist says this, and so obviously here's a point that he's trying to make in this psalm right out of the gate. Have you ever felt like you're doing something in vain? Just a simple example, right, of, I think I've mentioned this before, maybe it's just something that I am working through, but it is just like, how is it maybe that thing of keeping the house clean and feeling like that's a hopeless battle? Maybe if you're a young parent and you have these little kids and you got little toys everywhere and then they grow up and then they got all this other junk everywhere and then you get in your car after they use it and then there's all kinds of stuff in it and you got to clean up and you just feel like it's a hopeless battle sometimes. Or maybe it's something else. Maybe there's a project that you've been working on. There's this endless list of things on your to-do list where it's like it just keeps on growing and growing and it seems like it is in vain that you are trying to even get it down to nothing or to a manageable place. It's not a good feeling, right? And so that's not too encouraging. He's saying it's in vain. But here's the encouraging part that the psalmist wants to get across to us. He's saying it's all in vain unless what? Unless the Lord is involved in it. You want that house that you're building and laboring in to be worthwhile? You want it to last? Then what's the key? It's having the Lord's blessing. It's having his involvement in it. And this morning, just even as these parents come, that's what they're saying. They're saying, we want the Lord's blessing and his involvement in our lives, in our family. If God doesn't want it to work out, no matter what, no matter how hard you try, it's not going to happen. Do you remember the story of in the Old Testament of the Tower of Babel being built? These folks, they had the plan, they had the idea that if we just build this thing and we could reach to them, you know, and they were doing some hard work and it was an amazing thing that they were doing, but all that God had to do, he didn't want it to happen, is he just sent in a bunch of languages. He just, here, try it now. And just got everything to go into confusion. The illustration of the watchman on the wall is referring to persons who had the job of staying awake on the city walls through the night hours, keeping guard in case an enemy might attack. And he's saying that you can do the best job that you can do of staying awake and alert, but that security is ultimately in vain unless the Lord is watching over. What is he saying? He's saying the ultimate security, no matter how big your walls, is the Lord. The psalmist isn't saying that we don't labor. He's not saying that we don't do the work of building, buildings, and that that's not important, because obviously a building isn't built unless there's people who are doing the building, and there isn't a watching of a wall that's happening unless people are watching the wall. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying don't do your best at the task that you've been given, but what he is saying is that our trust is not in our own efforts, but our trust is in the Lord alone. Remember what Jesus said. He said, abide in me, in John 15, verses 4 and 5. He said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, we are the branches, and whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Can we do anything without him? No, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Guys, we need him. That's the encouragement. It's not our efforts that make the difference in the work that we've been given, but rather it's the Lord's involvement in our lives that makes all the difference. He's the one that takes our ordinary efforts and he does something really extraordinary with them. Look at what the psalmist then now says. He says, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Not only is he saying, trust and ask the Lord to use your efforts, whatever they are, but he's saying, here's how the Lord works whenever you trust the one who is holding the whole world in his hands. He's saying, this is how our good God works whenever we trust him to do the heavy lifting. And in our watching out, when we give our anxious hearts to him, he gives us rest. The psalmist says he gives to his beloved sleep. When we trust him, you know, there's Cody holding Charlie right now in his arms, and she's all concerned about some things here for a little bit right now, but as she finds herself in his loving arms and she's resting there, she's trusting, getting some food now. Maybe, right, Bill? As it comes, she's going to find rest, and there is a reward for resting in the arms of our Heavenly Father and trusting in him. Like, we can try and do all these things, and he's saying, here's the gift for those who are his beloved. The psalmist says he gives to his beloved sleep. I'm reminded here of what Jesus says. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 6. It is a favorite, familiar passage, but it doesn't hurt for us to hear it over and over and over again for a bunch of us who are anxiety and worrisome. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Can you just think about that? You just think about all the birds that you see out there. Yesterday I saw this, I don't even know what it's called. It was a woodpecker. It was pretty good size. Had a red feathers on top. What are they called? Pileated. What? Pileated. That's what it's called? Okay. Well, we had that bird, and it was a good-sized bird, and I just saw it fly into this bird feeder thing. And just how God was taking care of that bird. Did the bird have to, you know, he's out there and God is just providing. And we see all these birds outside all the time. And he's providing for them. His eye is on the sparrow, right? And he says this, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And I don't know what you're going through right now, but find comfort and a confidence in that he cares for birds like that, and he's caring for you even more so. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. He knows And so seek him first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. That's what the psalmist is saying. He's saying whenever you're trusting in God, then no longer are we eating the bread of anxious toil, as he calls it. And he gives us sleep. Sleep is a wonderful thing. There was a season of life years ago whenever I didn't think I required that much sleep. I think my kids are in that phase right now. My older kids especially think they're in that phase right now. I mean, they are in that phase, I guess. They're doing fine. Stay up into the wee hours of the morning, it seems, college years, and then they get up and they do it. But I'm not in that phase anymore, and I need to sleep. And so that's why I asked them, quiet down. And some of you might have good sleepers. You know, I think about some of you young parents who are at that point right now, and you're really hoping that these kids will sleep through the night soon. And some of you have been blessed, amazingly blessed, where they sleep right away as soon as you get home through the night. But we didn't have that with our one especially, and it was years. And I thought, would the day ever come? And it's one thing to be tired, and life seems a whole lot different whenever you don't have rest, right? If it's because of that, or maybe some of you have experienced what it is to not have rest because you're up all night, because you're worried, because you're anxious, because you're stressed out. How much we need to hear what the psalmist says here. He says, trust the Lord. No matter what you do, how hard you work, how much you worry, unless the Lord is in it, it is all in vain, he's saying. And so trust him, seek him, ask him, and allow him to have his own way in your life. He's the one who is going to make all the difference. And just a reminder, who are all those who are trusting in him? Let's just come back to what is on the front of your bulletin today as to who you are, who us is. What does he call them? He says, they are his beloved. Don't forget who you are. You are loved by God. That's why we sang that song this morning. It's who you say I am, but that you are chosen, not forsaken. You are his. He's saying, just rest in me. I hear him saying, give your best and trust me to see the project through. Trust in me to provide for you. Trust me to care for you and yours. Trust my timing. Trust me to be your everything. Trust me with everything, all your dreams, your concerns, and your future. Trust me. Walk by faith. You are my beloved. So I got to ask you, are you trusting him? Are you trusting him with your life? Do you hear the refrain over and over in these two verses? Unless the Lord builds, unless the Lord watches, he gives to his beloved sleep. You can worry, you can work, you can wrestle, whatever, but unless the Lord is in it, it's in vain. All human plans fail unless God is in them. One has written this: God does not require us to kill ourselves or fret ourselves to death, but only to use lawful industry, and then with quiet confidence in his providence to lie down and sleep. The divine blessing and not our foresight secures success. Do you hear that? The divine blessing and not our foresight secures success. God is as merciful in giving us sleep as he is righteous in requiring labor. And he shows his care for us by causing our crops to grow and our affairs to prosper, even while we sleep. So this morning, what is there that you need to trust him with? When you understand this, isn't the number one thing that matters most in our lives is that of having the Lord front and center in our lives? Because he's the difference maker, and he's the one who's holding the whole world in his hands. Just like that. Right, Cody? You're holding her whole world in your hands right now, and she is finding rest, and she is trusting. And those are good hands to be in as we find ourselves trusting in him. And so this morning, I think I just want to end there. Because the rest of this, it's what a wonderful example of it is in our view of children and what children are in our lives whenever we trust him with them. Whenever we're trusting in the Lord in regards to our children, and that's just whether or not we're trusting him, whether or not that's even something that he is going to bless with in our lives. And as we trust him, then we recognize kids that they are a gift and that they are a reward from the Lord. We look at them as that they are weapons, as the psalmist says, they're in the hands of a warrior, that just like arrows are in the hands of a warrior, so they go and we train and we fashion and we shape them as best we can, and we point them to know Christ and to know him as their Savior friend. Yesterday, Chris and I were just talking with one of our kids, and we were just telling the story about whenever Kristen and I, whenever we got married and we made the decision, like, we want our lives to be about pointing to Jesus and however it is that he calls us so that people would know him. And then as we started to think about having a family, that is the goal, that it is that we would be a family that is living for Jesus and for his name. And our desire was to raise children that would know him and experience his grace and his mercy. And we can do the best that we can do, but we need him to show up and work in their lives so that then as they go places that we can't go, that then they can do the work of showing and being a light for Jesus wherever he takes them. And so that's what he's saying here, is like that they would go and be arrows in the hands of a warrior to go and do the work where you can't be on your own. And there's parts of that process that aren't as easy as others, and that tension as the archer pulls back the arrow where it's getting greater, and it's just time to let go and let them go and trust the Lord to do his work through them as they go. And he says, blessed is the man, verse 5, who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. What a blessing kids are whenever God gets a hold of their lives in a way that is a blessing to the world. But it's only by his grace, unless the Lord is working in their lives. And the more arrows given that are shaped and crafted for the Lord, the better, however many that is going to be that he blesses with. And so this morning, just to wrap up our time together in these verses, just hear this one more time. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Friends, if you've placed your faith and your trust in Jesus, know this, that you are his beloved. And if you haven't yet placed your faith in Christ as your Lord and Savior, know that he is calling you and he is welcoming you, and he is desiring of you to trust him and place your faith and hope in him as your Lord and Savior. He is ready to forgive. He is ready to save. He's ready to call you and bring you into his family. Would you turn to him and place your faith and trust in him? Because if so, know this, that you are his beloved. You are his dearly loved children. He's given you a family to belong to, and you can know that you are his beloved, just like this morning, have all these parents and up here as they're holding their kids. And I see Steve here sleeping with his kid. No, I'm just kidding. He's resting. But he's right there, and just, do you see that? There's the peace. And he loves Elle more than anything. He loves all his kids, just like every parent does. And he's saying, you can trust me, I love you, and you don't need to be stressed out. You don't need to be worried. You don't have to fret about things, because I'm with you, and I love you, and I have all the resources available to me, and I can move whatever mountain it is that there is in front of you. And so, I don't know what's going on in your life. Maybe it's with a kid. Maybe it's with work. Maybe it's with parents. Maybe it's with some relationship, friendship that you have. I don't know what that is. Maybe it's looking for a job. Would you trust him? You can trust him because he loves you. And so this morning, just take it and bring your and cast your burdens on him, because it's what the message is all throughout Scripture of our great God. He's a God who cares for us. So let's bow our heads, and let's just in this moment, in this quiet, just take that to the Lord. Say, Lord, here I am. Here's this thing that I need to trust you with.